Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and we deal with issues every week on the show relating to mental health, psychology, emotions, spiritual, and that's my approach actually is body, mind, and spirit, or a more holistic approach to the work I do with my clients as well as in my own life. So tonight's topic, and I'm working tonight without a guest on, so I invite any callers, local or national, to call in and participate. And the topic tonight is current events and our emotions and psychological well-being. And, well, yesterday, November 5th, was certainly a current event, and for some people bringing a great deal of joy, and for other people, like myself, a great deal less happiness and satisfaction with the outcome. And it certainly, for me, is reminiscent of what happened 2 years ago, when I wrote an article called, facetiously, Election-Related Depression, a New Diagnostic Code for the DSM-4. Now, I realize that people listening, some may agree with me politically, some may definitely not be in agreement with me politically, and I'm not really dealing with the politics of what went on yesterday, but truly more of the impact that something like an election that has a long-term buildup, a crescendo and climax, and an aftermath, for better or worse, depending on the outcome of it for you. And this has an impact on all of us. The impact that it has can affect us very consciously, but can also affect us very subconsciously. And I know that 2 years ago, when this became so crystallized for me, I really started paying much more attention to the sessions I was doing with clients to see how long some of the current events of the elections were still having an impact on them days later, weeks later, months later, and occasionally was able to really see, sometimes even months later, how a sense of disappointment or hopelessness really is lingering, because what happens is it triggers our own personal experiences from childhood and adulthood, from relationships, from family issues, from job-related issues, our own sense of hopelessness or elation, our own life roller coaster ride. So some people and many people don't get how that event of 2 years ago's election, or yesterday's election for that matter, will have a ongoing impact on them. And, you know, I had to take an honest look over the last couple of years of how the, not so much the result of the election, but the process of that election really had a tremendous sense of hopelessness for me and for a lot of other people. Not so much that my candidate didn't win, but for the fact that it felt to me like the process wasn't in integrity. And naive as it may sound, we live in a democracy, and democracy has lasted a long time, and we expect that the democracy is going to work and work fairly and work, you know, and not be manipulated. And, you know, it's not to say Democrats don't manipulate the system as well as Republicans manipulate the system. I'm not that naive. But when it comes to a situation like that, or just, for me, the Democrats losing the Senate when it wasn't necessary, that there just wasn't a sense of coordinated effort, that then, to me, is like the system, the Democrats, making their own system work for them and paying as much attention as the Republicans seem to have, and in this case, been much more organized and got the outcome that they were looking for. So, again, we're talking about the particulars of these elections, But there have been other things recently, like the World Series a couple of weeks ago. Now, I know that KFNX is in the Phoenix area, and the Arizona Diamondbacks certainly brought a great deal of joy to that city and the state last year. And a lot of people there, of course, would have loved to have seen a repeat. So those of you who are listening locally in the Phoenix area, think about, even in the context of the World Series, what it was like last year as compared to this year, of the buildup, of the anticipation, of the excitement, of the newness of it for the Diamondbacks last year, since it was their first championship or even first World Series. Think about what it was like, the joy, the fear, the tension, the anxiety, all that stuff that had clearly an emotional impact on those of you that were rooting for the Diamondbacks last year. And being originally from New York, I was certainly rooting for the Yankees, except I liked the idea that it was their first time winning the Diamondbacks. And compare it to this year, when in the playoffs they didn't get as far as you wanted it to go. What was your general energy after the series last year as opposed to the playoffs that they lost this year? How did it affect your mood? How did it affect maybe even relationship that you might be in? Did it affect you on the job? Think about it for a moment. Living in Los Angeles, of course, I was totally rooting for Anaheim, and there were times when, you know, they were one game away from losing, you know, the whole series. It was just astounding to me, considering the way they'd been playing and the heaviness and the weight. I mean, it's like I just, the unbearable feeling of not wanting to continue watching a game, and luckily having TiVo and being able to fast forward a little bit and not deal with some of the delays, but the elation that came from and the joy and the excitement, even watching the last two games alone in my living room, feeling like I was part of something bigger, feeling a sense of wholeness and literal joy for the players, all of which have never won a World Series. There was such a range of emotions. How did that impact me and so many other people who were happy that Anaheim won? Well, it was actually a pretty good week. A lot of laughter, people having something, total strangers having something to talk about in common and celebrate and, hey, did you see that game? Did you see this? You know, all that sort of stuff that strangers can do when it's about a sporting event. Now, when you think about what was going on in San Francisco, obviously, there was a tremendous letdown because it looked clearly like they were going to take the series at a certain point. And again, the buildup and the letdown. Now, we say this is a sporting event, but think for a moment whether it's baseball, football, hockey, tennis, whatever it is, think about how consuming the people who are really just watching the game or following a team or living in a city, even if you're not a sports fan, how that will feed into the people that aren't even following the games and don't know about the sport or whatever, how it lightens up an entire city. Consider it like a collective unconsciousness. Everybody starts feeding into it. There's a real energy in a city that lightens up everyone and everything. Even, like I said, even people that are not particularly interested in the sport or in the team, when you're around it, it's contagious. It's a good contagion, or the depression of probably what people in San Francisco are going through after the World Series, a heaviness, a darkness that came over the city, a crash that happened from the elation of one game and we're going to do this. Oh, we have one more game now, you know, the sixth and seventh game. We can still do it. And yet, there had to have been a crash, not just individual, but citywide. Again, even for people who weren't following the games, weren't interested in the sport, are going to be at the effect of that collective emotion, that collective depression, that collective sadness, that collective anger. It does become contagious. And it can make or break what's happening in our individual lives. Now think of it. If you lived in San Francisco this year, and you were just so totally for the Giants, and all of a sudden you have this major disappointment, and maybe you're already on the verge of depression, or maybe you're already having conflict in a relationship, or maybe you're already unhappy with a job or having conflicts on the job. Don't you think that it's going to spill over? Don't you think that, whether you're aware of it or not, again, even if you weren't even rooting for the Giants but are in that city, people are going to become shorter with each other? Unless they happen to be some people that may be a little bit more compassionate and understand that everybody's nerves are frayed and they're more patient with one another. But usually what happens is the other way. People are jumping on each other. People are not patient with each other because everybody's dealing with this letdown, this sense of sadness, depression, anger, taking it out on everything from their bosses or spouses, mates, or their pets. Think about all that for a while, because we're going to cover some other areas like natural disasters and war threats and what have you. And stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. My topic tonight is current events in our emotional and psychological state, individually and collectively, and obviously spurred on by yesterday's election. And, you know, there's even for the candidates that won their election, like I know there was an amazing amount of celebration here with Loretta Sanchez and her sister Linda Sanchez, who are now both representing different districts in Southern California here, who are sisters, and going to Congress together. And while they had to have been feeling some mixed emotions because of what happened with their party yesterday, there was such a sense of family joy. You could see it in the celebration on TV, and pride in one another and the parents and their two daughters. And so there can be a mixture in there too. And before I go on with that, I believe I have a caller.
Hello.
Caller, you're on?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
David.
David, hi.
It's been a while since we talked, about a month and a half.
Oh, hi, David. How you doing?
Wonderful. Just got back here in time to vote, actually.
Very timely. You made it through the recovery program?
So far, today I have.
Ah, excellent. I'm glad to hear that, David.
I'm not happy about being in Minnesota and the cold and missing the Arizona one, but other than that, I'm...
So you were up in one of the programs up in Minnesota, huh?
I was at Hazleton.
Oh, very good. Good program. So what can I do for you tonight? You just calling to say hi?
I'm calling to check in and say that the first time I called you meant a lot, and what happens to talking about voting tonight. I had to say I got back in time to vote. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Since, you know, you're open about your recovery and its newness, and I'm sure that you were left fairly raw after going through a recovery program. How did, you know, whether you were happy about yesterday's election or not, how is the state of vulnerability impacting you in terms of the election? Do you see the impact?
Well, right now I'm pretty vulnerable to everything around me. I'm not happy about the outcome of the election.
Okay.
My political affiliation, but I don't think I'm going to let that affect my mental personal health. I can't allow other people's decisions to affect my decisions. I know who I voted for. I know what I felt about it, and I can't allow other people to control my emotions and feelings. I don't let anyone else do that.
Right. So how do you keep that from happening?
I think exactly as I said. I take time to think about what I want in the world instead of what other people want.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully what I want in the world has an effect on what other people want. I really want to have an effect on that.
In other words, you bring it down to a more common denominator or a smaller geographic thing. Instead of seeing it in the total picture of the election, you bring it back into your own world, and how do you make the best of today in spite of this?
Absolutely.
Good. Okay. That's great, David. I appreciate that. Anything else?
Nothing. Just wanted to check in and give you a kudos for the right show at the right time when I needed it.
Well, it's called divine intervention, though, isn't it? And your
absolutely.
The biggest part was your willingness to call in and stay with the process. So,
no problem.
Kudos
for the rest of the
show,
and once again, maybe I'll check in.
Okay, David. Thank you. Great. Any of you who had listened a couple of months ago, you would have heard David had called in and was dealing with issues around his addiction and some other emotional things, and he just stayed right with it for about 40 minutes, and we just kept working. I had no other callers and didn't have a guest that night, and he took it. He took what we did, and he ran with it, and instead of running away, he ran towards something, and that was the treatment program. And David, I'm assuming you're still listening, and just know that I have tremendous respect for what you've done, and my prayers will stay with you. Current events. If you got what I was asking David there, in other words, how do you keep yourself from getting caught up in the insanity or the impact of an event? And I think David's attitude is probably one of the most important and best solutions, which is be conscious that, number one, you do feel some disappointment, anger, hopelessness, or whatever as a result, let's say, of the election, that you do have that feeling. Remember, tell the truth faster. That's the essence of this whole show. Be honest with yourself that you're feeling something. And the key, as I said in many other shows, if that's a difficult thing for you to do, to identify your emotions, then that's the focus of therapy for you. That you're not with a therapist that's up in your head all the time or in his or her heads all the time, that you actually are doing the work necessary to deal with what's below the neck, emotionally as well as spiritually. That you're able to develop the tools to identify what you're feeling in any given moment and the appropriateness of those feelings and to learn how to appropriately express them so that they're not stuffed in there and they're not building and building and building. Many of us were not taught that growing up. And it takes courage and some strength to admit that you don't have certain skills. Many of us were not taught how to deal with emotional stuff, especially if you're dealing with an addictive house. You know, it's so important that the first step is you're able to tell the truth that there are certain tools and skills I don't possess. Now where can I go to learn them? And that's what we're going to keep talking about tonight. Hopefully we'll have some more callers. But stay tuned. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And tonight we've been talking about current events and our psychological and emotional states, how they impact us. And I believe I have another caller. You there, caller?
Hi, Stuart. How are you doing?
Sean?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm enjoying the radio show.
Thank you.
Thought I'd give you a call tonight. First-time caller, actually.
Okay.
Current event. I say don't let them bother you unless they affect you completely in your life.
What do you mean by that, unless they affect you completely in your life?
Well, unless they have a direct effect on you,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't let the whole thing bother you. And mm-hmm. what I mean by thing is, say, like, you're a Democrat and now there's Republican holding the majority of the seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not directly affecting you, don't let it bother you.
Okay. In other words, it doesn't affect what I may have to do day to day right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, it may affect us later down the line.
Right.
But that's later down
to.
The line.
Right. In other words, stay out of the future thinking and stay into the now.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And it gets me to another point, actually, that I was going to make a little bit later, but I'll bring it up now. It's it's the same thing of the impact of people who are reading the newspapers constantly and reading about threat of war, threat of war, threat of war, or you know, who are constantly addicted to listening to the news in their car on the radio like I used to be, or making sure they see the news at night before they go to sleep.
Well, I watch the news every day. I keep
right.
up on current events,
yeah.
and I don't let it bother me.
Mm-hmm.
You live for now.
Okay.
Tomorrow may not be there.
Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from, Sean?
North Hollywood.
North Hollywood. Oh, Sean. Okay. Good. And what else in terms of this? What again? How do you keep yourself from staying stuck in it? What if it's something like what we've been dealing with for the last year or so with 9/11 and terrorists and how it impacts your day-to-day living if you're flying or anything like that? How do you keep that from becoming a weight on you?
That first week after September 11th, I was hooked on TV. I couldn't turn it off. I had to keep up on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing all those images, you know, you kind of, I don't know how to say it, kind of see a grim future for us.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you go on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And things get better for you personally, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just kind of forget those grim things that have happened. You don't
mm-hmm.
really forget them, but you just put them out of your mind
mm-hmm.
completely, and you just go on with your life.
Okay.
Try not to let them affect you that much where you're going to not want to go out in public. You don't
right.
want to go on a train or a plane or
mm-hmm.
on a bus because there was a threat.
Right. But you see, there are people out there, and I've known them, who refuse to fly, still refuse to fly because they're so afraid of the plane coming down. I knew people in that big earthquake we had here in L.A. back in the early 90s who within 2 days after the earthquake had their things packed and moved out of here because the current event, that experience of living through that earthquake was so terrifying that they let it dictate their life.
You know, just roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do.
Okay.
You're going to let things affect you in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go outside.
Great.
You know,
okay.
Lock yourself up and you'll be protected.
Okay.
But
you won't have a life.
Out there, you have to do stuff. You have to work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be part of society.
Right.
And just kind of brush it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of happier thoughts or whatever you can do to do it.
Mm-hmm. Whistle a happy tune.
That's how it works for me.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling, Sean.
I'm enjoying the show, and you have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, North Hollywood, so we're getting here in L.A. That means some people are actually listening over the Internet. I'm very glad to hear that. So that does get back to that point of the impact that, I mean, like Sean, I do read the newspaper every day. I also find that when I'm aware that I'm being really disturbed, I don't read the articles that are really dark and dreary. I found that after the election last year, after being so glued to what the outcome was going to be, I stopped listening to the news and the radio for like 3 months. It was unnecessary. I actually started playing music on the radio a lot more often. And one of the other things I did was get, there's a catalog of taped, Radio Spirit, I think it is. And I got these tapes, or you can get CDs of them, of all these old radio shows from the 30s, 40s, and early 50s. And it's hours and hours of listening of all some incredible comedies and dramas and things like that. And I keep a supply of new ones. I keep ordering from them because it's so much more pleasant to drive in my car listening to something that is entertaining me and not necessarily just music. So there are ways of taking a break. And if you're having problems sleeping at night or having some real disturbances, I really do suggest that you don't watch the news late at night. don't watch the 11 o'clock news. And I'm sure, you know, everybody who's in that industry, you know, would be up in arms hearing that and stuff. But most people can handle it. But if you're finding that you're having real restless nights, if you're not sleeping well, don't watch the news late at night. Just like they say, don't eat a heavy meal late at night. There are things like that that keep your brain working and keep too stimulated, overstimulated, and worrying about things. So then we're dealing with the issues of some of us are reading about these things, some of us are living them. Okay? How disturbing is it for us to be reading what's going on in the Middle East constantly? But it's so much different for those people who are actually living in the Middle East, whether they're Israelis or Palestinians or, you know, whatever country they're from, even the Iraqis, Iranians, everybody's living what we're just reading about. So you can imagine what it's like to grow up in a geographic area where there is this constant current event going on, suicide bombers or checkpoints or, you know, skirmishes or threats and changing of governments even more often than we do. Think what it might be like growing up, being a child and a teenager and a young adult as well as elderly in those environments. Current events, emotions. What happens, and it makes sense why it's been so difficult to find peaceful solutions in regions like Kashmir and Northern Ireland and the Middle East and parts of Africa, is because these children are growing up with this collective consciousness of fear, mistrust, hate, grieving, sadness. It's a very heavy environment. Now, we're talking the extremes of what most of us live through here, except obviously when we dealt with the terrorist attacks of 9/11 or what went on in Oklahoma City a few years ago. It has a collective impact. There is a sense of constant sadness, constant fear, constant paranoia, mistrust that you're walking around with every day. And yet there are people there who are celebrating happy occasions and having loving relationships and loving one another, and in the midst of looking for the solutions to peace, they're doing what Sean was talking about, finding that peace inside themselves. Now, that's the first line of defense for anything that we're dealing with. The first and main purpose of therapy, as far as I'm concerned, is how do you find your balance? How do you find your peace? How do you get back to a place that you were in, maybe at the moment of your birth before all this other stuff started being thrown at you, but there was a time when you were nothing but light and peace and feeling very centered. To me, that's the essence of therapy. Helping people identify the things that keep them off-centered and keep them in pain or in fear and not connected to their heart. And how do you help them walk through those things and get to a place where their heart is really guiding them? So when we're dealing with issues of war or threats of war, you know, it was very different when I was in college. We were dealing with Vietnam. And there were a lot of people in college in those days, in college, not because they wanted an education, but because for a certain period of time, we were able to get a deferment from the draft if we were students. Now, that I remember ending, I think, in 1969 or 70 when they instituted the lottery system so that it would literally be fairer to people who couldn't afford to go to college to get out of the draft, and it became a lottery by birthday. And people on certain birthdays were drafted first, the next birthday, and it was all drawn. And I remember sitting in front of the TV with so many other people from my dorm waiting for our birthdays to be drawn out of that lottery. It was excruciating. Not only were we dealing with whatever opinions we had about the war in Vietnam, our own anger, our own mistrust of our government lying to us, you know, fighting a war that didn't make any sense to us, but now we're dealing with whether or not we're going to have to serve and go over there and risk our own lives. And we're going to take a break while you think about that, and we'll be back with Tell the Truth Faster in a few minutes. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Do It All Truler. Our topic tonight is current events, how it affects our emotions and psychological and spiritual state. Appreciate to call us tonight, David and Sean, and if you would like to call in and participate or ask a question or deal with some issue, if you're in the Phoenix area, it's 602-277-5369. And the toll-free number, if you are elsewhere, is 866-536-1100, 866-536-1100. Natural disasters. I spoke a little bit about that before the last break. That was a friend of mine who actually, within a day or two, had her car packed and was out of L.A. I think it was the earthquake, the big one we had. I think it was 92. Some people have that type of terror that is instilled in them or triggered. Something where they have no control over a situation. Now, there's a quote by Bayard Rustin, civil rights, African-American civil rights leader, who said, "History is not an accident. History is a choice. History is not an accident. History is a choice." In other words, we choose, actually, the amount of energy we put into the things we want to have happen, but we also choose how we deal with them. And that's what David and Sean were both saying earlier, was we have a choice of how we deal with what went on with the election yesterday. We can be celebrating, we can be depressed, or we can bring it back into our own sphere and make our own individual lives the best they can be under the circumstances we have to live with. And when it comes to a natural disaster, whether it's an earthquake here or if you, again, have read the newspapers recently, something's going on the planet right now. A lot of activity. Mount Etna erupting. There was a volcano, a large volcano out in Ecuador outside Quito that's been erupting. We had major earthquakes in Italy, in Alaska. There was one in Pakistan. The earth is shaking. If we want to get metaphysical about it, I'm sure the earth is shaking because it's very angry with what we're doing to it and how we're living on it. And I do believe that. Natural disasters bring a lot of terror. Why? Because one of the reasons is that we have no control over when they occur, how they are going to impact, the kind of destruction they're going to do. It's something that could happen at any minute, any second. Things like a hurricane, you may have warning you can evacuate. An earthquake, a tornado, a volcano erupting a third, you may not have those warnings. You have to deal with a situation when it occurs. I remember back in 1990 or 91, I was in Russia when I was doing work over there, AIDS work in the former Soviet Union. And our Russian host had us at this what had previously been a resort for the Soviet hierarchy, but it was now a place where we could go to relax because we'd been doing a lot of work and a lot of traveling. And in the dining room, there was this woman who was there waiting on us and serving us our food and spoke no English, but our interpreter actually found out a little bit about her. And what she found out was that this woman was there at that place with her two young children, and they had survived the Armenian earthquake. She had a husband that was in the Russian army who was stationed in Yugoslavia, and she had no place else to be. And being in that place and waiting on those tables was what she needed to do right now to take care of her children. And somehow, the Russian colleagues of mine knew about this thing called rebirthing that I had been doing, this form of breath work, and had heard me talk enough about it. And like they might do, they just volunteered my services to this Russian woman who had been through this earthquake in Armenia. And so I was game. I ended up rebirthing this woman, doing this breath work that allowed her to access what was really happening subconsciously with her. And even though I only knew a few words, I knew how to tell her to keep the breath going, I knew how to say a few other things, she spoke no English, but she understood what was going to be happening, because we had that translated in all the instructions. She was laying there and doing the breathing, and what I found out and was evident was that she had been stuck under the rubble of a collapsed building when that earthquake happened. And as she kept breathing, I saw her hands actually pushing, and I realized she was trying to push the weight of the stones off of her, and I kept telling her, good, keep going, keep doing it. And the weight physically that she had lived in while stuck in that rubble was now a weight that she was living under, this fear, this terror that she'd be crushed to death, that she'd die there, nobody would find her. And in that motion of pushing those stones off of her in the breathing, in the rebirthing, a sense of power came back to her. And actually, I won't say came back to her consciously, because when she explained it to me through the translator later on, she says she's never felt as centered and powerful as she did in that moment. That the terror of that event, she was able to actually see herself going through again with a different place of power, a way of seeing herself as having more control over her destiny now, basically by knowing that she is okay in this moment and doesn't have to live in terror. Current events and our emotions. This is Stuart Altschul. We're going to take our final break here and we'll be back. So please stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler, and tonight we've been discussing current events and how they impact our emotions and psychological and spiritual well-being, or lack of. And as a therapist, just want to leave you with a few thoughts. As a therapist, I try and remind my colleagues and friends who are therapists, never to underestimate the impact that any situation has on an individual. I don't believe in looking for things where they're not, but they're there, okay? And it's events in our clients' lives that drive them to seek therapy. Those events could be personal childhood abuse, death of a loved one, history of addictions, and so many other things that scar and damage the psyche, the heart, the mind, and the soul. So despite Bayard Rustin's statement that history is not an accident, that history is not a choice in a practical sense, history as choice is the conscious decisions we make today that is creating our future history. I'm going to say that again. History as choice is the conscious decisions we make today that is creating our future history. And, you know, we may see yesterday's election as a letdown. We may see it as something to rejoice in. But we really do have a system that works, even if it loses its way from time to time, like I believe it did 2 years ago. Yesterday, the system really did work. I didn't happen to like the outcome of it, but again, I need to learn how to find the balance back in my life and to live in the context of what our democracy allows us and dictates to us, in the sense of that's where we have elections. To hear people complaining about the outcome who didn't vote, flat in the face. Okay? If you have issues with what's going on, you need to be at the poll. You need to place your votes, or else you don't have a say-so in what the ramifications may be, as far as I'm concerned. We have minds and hearts that really can take care of us, even if they lose their way from time to time. And as therapists, we're there to be conscious light to help people rediscover their way, whatever that may be. As human beings, part of a society, we have the same thing. Not just as therapists, but as human beings. So, with all that said and done, I have a few things to leave you with that might leave you with a smile on your face. A friend of mine had emailed this to me actually a while ago, called The Mysteries of Life. I may not get through all of them before I have to cut, but first one is, why is it considered necessary to nail down the lid of a coffin? Number two, why doesn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle? Number three, why don't you ever see the headline, Psychic Wins the Lottery? Number four, why is the word abbreviated such a long word? Number five, why is a boxing ring square? Number six, why is it called lipstick if you can still move your lips? Seven, why is it that doctors call what they do practice? That's scary. Eight, why is it that rain drops but snow falls? Number nine, why is it that when you are driving and looking for an address, you turn down the radio? 10. Why is the man who invests all your money called a broker? 11. Why is the time of the day with the slowest traffic called rush hour? 12. Why is lemon juice made with artificial flavor and dishwashing liquid made with real lemons? I like that one. Why is lemon juice made with artificial flavor and dishwashing liquid made with real lemon? 13. Why isn't there a mouth-flavored cat food? 14. Can heavy-set people go skinny dipping? And 15. Why do you need a driver's license to buy liquor when you can't drink and drive? Think of that one. And the last one, which actually I think is worth asking. You know that the little indestructible black box that is used on planes? Why can't they make the whole plane out of the same substance? Just some things. Put a smile on your face. Questions that will drive you crazy. And a sense of appreciation that you've listened in tonight. That you don't let the day's events get you down. And that you find your own place of balance in the course of your own day, in your own life, your own world, and in your own relationship. My prayer for all of you. Tune in next week, and I'll be back same time. And thanks for listening. This is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster.